Dana called me 2 days after the fight and said, we want to do Dan Henderson. I was like, yep, sure. Line him up. Fred Flintstone's going to get knocked out. Captain Caveman's going to go into retirement. All good.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? A shout out to the sponsors once again. Thank you guys for supporting the show. And talking about supporting the show, we have our first guest calling in. Shout out to Christian. At Christian J. Lee on Twitter, if you guys want to follow him. Listener of the podcast, huge supporter, always hitting us up, sharing his opinions. Definitely one of the people who made it be known, like, yo, get me on the Fan Appreciation Show. And he was just hyped to get on here, had to talk some wrestling. So, Christian, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, glad to be here. Like you said, big fan of the show. This is an honor for me.
Nah, it's great to have you. Great to have you. First and foremost, we're here to talk wrestling this segment, and I got a problem off top. You know, we love our listeners, all this stuff, but Christian, me and you got a problem. And I'm gonna let you know what the problem is. When we were
I'm listening.
When we were talking, setting up the show, setting up the segment, you referred to my bae, Sasha Banks, as your bae. And it's cool, you know, we're good, corner club all day. We can't share bae. I just gotta let you know, like, you know, it's all right. You can look at Sasha, but, you know, I got dibs.
I mean, I understand how you feel, but Mikhail, I have video evidence of Sasha Banks saying she loves me. So,
you know, that might be damning. That's damning evidence. But, like, see, we were probably going through some stuff at that time. So, you know, she was led astray a bit. She gonna come back. Just like we saw, you know, she lost her belt to Charlotte. She went along her way. She healed up. And then she came back this week. She got her title back. The same thing with our love. It's going to rekindle here in a second.
So, we'll see, but I can't let it go.
What'd you think of the match? What'd you think of the match between Sasha and Charlotte? And it main event in Raw.
Well, I thought it was just such a big thing for them to be main eventing Raw. I thought the match was good. They had that match at, what was it, SummerSlam, I believe, and it was just kind of sloppy with them taking those high-risk moves. And this time, the moves were a lot cleaner. When Charlotte did that, what was it, a corkscrew moonsault?
Oh, that was so clean. Floor,
that was amazing. And then Sasha reversing the pinfall reversal into another bank statement. That was awesome. I just wondered, it's kind of weird that Sasha's won the title both times at the Raw after a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it seems like they're wasting major pay-per-view opportunities. Like, if pay-per-view is supposed to be these grand stages, why is Sasha always taking the L at the pay-per-views? I'm not understanding it. They have Hell in a Cell coming up. Why couldn't she win then? Is it that pressing that, you know, she can't wait until even a Survivor Series, which is a joint pay-per-view, where you have both brands? It's the only pay-per-view that month. So maybe people are tuning out with these split pay-per-views. You never know. At least everyone sees her win it at a Survivor Series type pay-per-view. I don't understand why Raw is the spot for her to keep winning it, unless the plan is for her to just hold it, to drop it to someone else.
I don't know if it's so much that she can't win it at a pay-per-view versus they don't want Charlotte losing at a pay-per-view. Because Charlotte's got the, what, 15-month win streak at pay-per-views.
They're going to have to give that up. I'm tired of these random facts. The New Day, 400 some odd day. We saw Nikki Bella break the record for women's titles for AJ Lee. They're just trying to get everyone out of the record books, and it feels forced. I'm telling you, someone's breaking CM Punk's record. His newly crowned record of holding the belt for over a year. In our era, it's the longest someone has held a belt. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Styles or Owens break that and just shatter the record just to get his name out of there.
Really? I don't see them having the title on either one of them that long.
Well, we have a deep roster, but SmackDown's not that deep. Who else on SmackDown can really hold the title right now? Bray Wyatt? They won't even let him win a match. John well, Cena's a partner. Yeah, he's a part-timer, and he's going to make history whenever he wins it. But honestly, is he going to beat Ric Flair's record? Like, how many more times can Cena hold the belt? This next one is historic, so you're going to give it to him at a major pay-per-view. Mania, next year SummerSlam, maybe something like that. But outside of that, is he going to win it twice again in his career? Probably not. What if they save it for 2 years from now to make history? So the next time is probably his last time getting a title. So realistically, there's no one else on the SmackDown brand to take the belt from AJ Styles if it's not John Cena.
Now, do you think Cena only has another year or two in him? Cena stays in shape.
Cena's 39.
Cena probably go for another five.
No, Cena's body can't. Cena's mind can't. Cena has been injured 3 of the last 4 years. And now he's on a part-time schedule, so an injury really takes him out of the majority of the year if he gets injured at all now. So he's had multiple surgeries on his body. He heals fast, but his body keeps breaking down. 39 years old, I believe. I think he has 4 years left in him. I think he only has one more title run in him. And that's the difference.
I could see them. I could see them putting the title on Cena 2 more times. Just to give him number 17, because he is the company Ric Flair, and he's been with WWE, ooh, you know, from day one.
Standalone is rough. To have him the standalone number one champion of all time.
I think after he gets some time off, heal up a little bit, they'll probably give him the title early next year, and then a couple years from now, yeah, I can see him totally getting another title reign somewhere in there.
Oh, I mean, if they give him the title in the coming months, I see him getting it at Rumble. Setting up whoever his opponent is for WrestleMania, winning the Royal Rumble later that night. So if we have, you know, maybe Undertaker, who's not with any brand, he didn't get drafted at all. And if he comes out, surprise entrance in the Rumble, wins the Rumble, even at his age, the nostalgia, that would be incredible. I would love to see Nakamura, Joe, or somebody win it, but come on, this is WWE. So if we get Taker winning it, and maybe we have, I don't know, Lesnar as Raw champion and Cena as SmackDown champion, and Taker can choose who he wants to face at WrestleMania, that'd be one hell of a match, or at least a dynamic leading into it. Like, does he get revenge on Lesnar for breaking the streak? Does he go after John Cena, a man he's never wrestled before? Which belt does he want to challenge? He's a free agent. What if he shows up on both shows and terrorizes both of them? There's a lot of options.
Well, Undertaker's only showing up at Raw. Like, he's only going to show up at a Raw. I don't see him showing up at a SmackDown.
If they're equal, wasn't Taker SmackDown last brand split? If I'm not mistaken, it was him, Angle.
Yeah, because he was like, the one that gave.
Yeah, he was
gave John Cena the nod.
Exactly. He was like American Badass still, I think. But nonetheless, I think Taker was a SmackDown guy. So I don't know. It's weird how the belts are moving. I feel like every belt, when you want to push talent, okay, the women's belt is moving, changing hands, trying to keep it fresh. Cool. I don't know who takes the belt off of Becky Lynch. I don't see anyone ready to do that on SmackDown. Maybe an Asuka call-up eventually. Outside of that, I don't see the tag team belts moving at all. Well, for Becky Lynch,
I think you could put the belt on Natalya. You could put that gun to put it on Nikki Bella at some point.
Oh, that's very true, especially with the show kicking off. So I agree with that.
I'd like to see Naomi get it.
You know what? Andreas is a huge fan of Naomi, too. I can't do it. I don't know why. But talent-wise, she can definitely carry the company or the belt for the women on that side. I don't understand the new gimmick, really. I'm glad she got away from, like, the whole my booty's big and that's my only gimmick thing. But this new
Still the way she fights. It's still her main weapon.
It is, which is ridiculous. She needs a real finisher. Now if she goes heel, like Uso heel, and throws on the red rag again, and maybe like the game walks her out for WrestleMania, give her the belt.
Did you hear Mara Rinaldo call the Usos the Urban Usos?
It's incredible. That's what they are, though. Like, I feel like they're just banging on us every week now. Yo, we just need Kendrick to come out. Like, if we just get... If we get Kendrick to perform Mad City when they come out, and you just get a yah, 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 oh, man. It's tearing the roof down at Mania. Vince McMahon needs to open the budgets.
Hey, but I like Gangbanger Uso more than I like, neon tribal war paint Usos.
Yeah, so. I think anyone likes Gangbanger Uso. That's true. They did win 2 Slammys, so they may be popular. I know kids love the neon face paint. Super Samoan Usos. I much prefer Gangbanger Uso.
Oh, yeah. Although they will not be... I do not see them beating Slater Gator. I mean, not Slater Gator. Slater and Rhino.
Slater Gator would be an amazing name. no, I think they beat them because, once again, Rhino and Slater aren't a legit tag team. And the American Alpha are the tag team that you're setting up to take the title at one of the major pay-per-views, and they have to take it from a heel faction. And since they're faces, they got to face heels, and Slater isn't a heel. So the heels have to beat Slater to get the belt so American Alpha can chase. It's just when does it happen?
Well, what do we do with Slater after he drops the title?
Nothing.
Like, does he feud with Rhino?
No, this was his one shot. Like, this was it. This was his Zack Ryder moment.
That's such a waste, though.
Zach's, listen, he went from being IC champion to hype bro in 2 weeks. Same thing for Slater. Rhino's running for, what, Congress or something? He's not in this for the long haul.
Rhino, I thought it was hilarious. He says, my constituents depend on me to win this. And it's like, there are really people voting for you on the outcome of a professional wrestling match. Remind me never to move to your district.
Yo, he's actually a decent politician, though. I mean, you know, in the midst of we're watching Trump and Clinton go at it. So, I mean, Rhino, we can get worse than Rhino. We've seen crazier shit than that. Rhino for president, it needs to be next. Talking about wild.
Rhino 2020.
Talking about wild craziness in the WWE. Survivor Series is coming up, and all signs point towards Goldberg versus Lesnar, probably main eventing Survivor Series. People haven't cared about Survivor Series in years. So it's not like they're ruining something that is a mainstay, like Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. But do people tune into Survivor Series now if this is the headlining match? And where does it fit in? Because Goldberg's with no brand, and Lesnar is with Raw, but really doesn't do shit.
I'm not really excited about this match. And I don't know if anyone really is, because we're far removed from the days of Goldberg being, you know, the dominant force that he used to be. Because how long has it been since he even wrestled?
Ooh, his last match might have been against Lesnar at Mania.
Which was a fantastic match.
you said it, not me. It has to be like 13 years, I believe. Yeah, we're in 2016. It's rough.
If that's his last match, and Brock Lesnar is, you know, destroying Randy Orton and the entire Wyatt family and all of S.H.I.E.L.D. and John Cena, why am I to believe that Goldberg is going to be a threat to Brock Lesnar?
Well, he's a big dude. They'll suplex each other. We might get a spear. We will get a spear. We might get a jackhammer that Lesnar's going to kick out of. Because we've seen how Vince books people from WCW. We were all hyped to see Sting. And it's like, oh man, Sting, him versus Triple H. We can finally see it. The match turned out to be funny and quirky, and it was pretty good. And Sting couldn't even go over on Triple H. Triple H, you're in every single Mania. This is the guy's first, and it happened to be last, WrestleMania. You can't let him get the win. Like, you guys are just deep down, just real stubborn. Like, that's some real asshole stuff to do. It's like, it could be the guy's only Mania. And I see the same thing happening again. Goldberg's had to take that out.
Yeah, well, at least with Triple H. Triple H is at least human. Brock Lesnar, I feel like if they let Goldberg get in any offense at all, it just kind of craps on everyone else that Brock Lesnar's beaten.
No, because once the music hits and the cops are at the door and he's coming down and then you see him breathing smoke out his nose, you're like, oh, shit. And then everyone reverts back to being however old, you know, you were when you were watching it. I think I was, 10 years old during the Goldberg run? Not to age myself in reverse. Yeah. Yeah, I was 10, I think. During the Goldberg
run. It's okay, I was too.
Oh, so. good, yeah. Old man Andreas is going to let me hear it next week from that. I was 10 during that run, so as soon as the music hits, it's just like, oh, he can do it. Like, the feeling comes back. You can't help but have revertigo and just go back to who you were when you saw it last. And then it's crushed when you see that he's almost 50 years old. He could barely wrestle then. He's going to be horrible now, and Brock Lesnar is probably going to hurt him.
And this is super Brock Lesnar. This isn't Brock Lesnar from...
They're both part-timers now, so they can both be on the juice. So Goldberg right now needs to be hitting that new cycle. They don't test part-timers in a wellness program. You got to hit that new cycle.
But, I mean, this is a juicing Brock Lesnar, so...
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like Super Shredder coming back. It's fine. They're both juicing. I want to see them both roided up. Just let them go at it.
I want to see them shoot up before the match. Like,
like on
before
Raw,
his music hit.
Like on Raw, I need to see them just like tourniquet on arm, or like the guy in the back just sticking the needle right in his ass. Just boom. We're ready to go. And so I just need to see him pump up three different times.
Before Goldberg kicks open his door, the camera's in there watching the needle go into his ass and shoots up, kicks the door open, probably kicks it off the hinges because he's on steroids, and they proceed to march to the arena the ring.
I don't even want Goldberg to stick the needle in his ass. I need Goldberg, the old Goldberg midget, to be in there, stick the needle in his ass, camera pans to the hallway, Goldberg kicks the door through, and he's three times bigger. That's what we need. That's the entrance. That'll make it all worth it.
That I would be excited to see.
We get that at Survivor Series. We're selling stuff.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we're going to get a guy that's almost 50 who hasn't wrestled in almost a decade and a half against essentially a roided up part-timer. I don't think this is going to be good.
I'd rather see it now than at WrestleMania, because I'm paying money to go to WrestleMania. So do it now while I can fast forward it on my television, and I'll be just fine. That's the way I'm looking at it. And hopefully they make Survivor Series on Thanksgiving again, because that was the best thing growing up. When you had a Thanksgiving night pay-per-view to look forward to after football and everything, we need those days back. I don't want to see it on a weekend.
But, okay, does Survivor Series do better than whoever's playing on Thanksgiving, football-wise?
No, no, but you, is there a night game now on Thanksgivings for football?
Is there?
If there's,
I don't know.
I know there's day games, because all the time when I'm cooking, I'm watching day games. So there's two day games. If there's a night game, you can't pull it off. But if it's the two day games, they end at like 7 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern, then you put on the pay-per-view right after that. And people are searching for stuff to watch. So I think it's a perfect time. That's how it used to be, at least, you know, growing up. If there's now a night game because Thursday night football or whatever, they try to get as much money as possible. Then, yes, you have to keep it on a weekend. So, I don't know. I want changes. I need something shaken up. Talking about a promotion that's changing, though, TNA has been going through it. They had probably their best year, what, since like 09? Since Styles, Samoa Joe, everyone was on top over the angle. So maybe 10, 11, that was going on. They've had their best year since then with broken Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy doing his thing. I don't like Lashley per se, but EC3 has shown that he's a young superstar in the making. They have some good talent over there, and they're leaking money. And WWE just bought their back catalog. So hopefully soon we're going to see every TNA, I guess, pay-per-view and weekly show on the network, which is going to be great so people can learn about Aries and Joe and AJ Styles and see them when they were in their true, I guess this is their prime, but when they were young and making mistakes and wild and bleeding and all that stuff. So we're probably going to see that. TNA says, you know, they didn't sell to the WWE. They were bought by a Smashing Pumpkin, I believe. He's going to try to rebrand it. Is this the end of TNA, though? Like, are we seeing the end?
I just need to know, did WWE actually buy the video library?
They did. They bought the library. Library is gone. So TNA has no history anymore. It looks like we're going to get a new name, a new promotion. Still on Pop TV. They're going to try to repackage everything. But they have no history. The WWE owns the history of TNA, which is good because they own probably their most talented wrestlers of all time.
But it sucks for the overall professional wrestling. Because now, once again, WWE has pretty much a stranglehold on everything.
Yeah, Lucha Underground has to continue doing what they're doing. They have a really good promotion. If people aren't watching Lucha Underground, they're kind of losing out. I know it's a lot of wrestling already, but you can go back. You can watch it online. I believe it's on Apple. Like, if you go to iTunes and stuff, you can find it on there. Watch it on your laptops or on your TVs. It's great quality. Hopefully Prince Puma or Ricochet comes to WWE soon so everyone can get to see his work. But they have talent over in Lucha Underground. ROH is always great. We always go when they come here to Vegas. Always a fun show. A lot of the champions now came through ROH. Two major champions, definitely, and Seth Rollins. So those promotions are going to keep going. But the WWE is what the WWE is. They're the juggernaut. They're the NFL. They're the NBA. There are no seconds.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to be better if they control most of it. Like you said, there is Lucha Underground and ROH, and you know, if you feel like looking up New Japan, but and it's not like I was watching TNA seriously anyway, so I'm not really losing anything from
One was. Final Deletion was the first TNA match I watched in a smooth decade.
I'll watch from time to time, and then last time I saw, Lashley had all of the belts, and I couldn't take it seriously anymore. So, like, well, they're being TNA again. So...
No, thankfully, he dropped some of the belts. I still don't know how. But Matt Hardy hold everything. Just give him his own belt. He's Wrestler of the Year right now.
I would have never thought that Matt Hardy would be the wrestler to be carrying a company.
Like, I would definitely have went with Jeff. But broken Matt Hardy is, you know, one third Sherlock Holmes novel, one third sci-fi, another third just pure crazy shit, just wrapped into one, and I can't look away. It's incredible. Like, the accent, Senor Benjamin, his hot-ass wife. Like, there's just so many different... Oh, yeah. There's a dilapidated boat. There's just so many key key things to their pay-per-views. It's amazing.
I love how he goes from, you know, insane to lobotomy patient in, like, mid-sentence, where he just starts staring at the screen, drooling a little bit, and then goes right back into his crazy rant.
It's great. You know, Jeff Hardy, Brother Nero, it's so amazing. Like, he blurred the entire line of scripted and fantasy, and he brought it to real life, filming it in his yard and Jeff's yard, and calling Jeff by his real name, Nero, and all that stuff. But then went to complete opposite spectrum and had a drone and, you know, lighting shit on fire. It's so crazy. It's so real, but yet so fake that your senses are just overloaded. It's so hard to explain, but it's great. And if that was in the WWE, the merch sales would have been crazy. It would have been revolutionary. But the WWE is never first on taking these chances. And somehow TNA had the best thing in wrestling, the best gimmick in wrestling probably the past 5 years, and went bankrupt with it. I'll never understand.
Well, they were already going bankrupt, so...
So he just continued the wave.
That maybe staved it off for maybe a month or two. But no, TNA was well on its way to being bankrupt anyway. So
that's a shame. So with TNA going under, it looks like in the near future, the other promotions doing okay. But the WWE is the juggernaut now. And they're going, we saw with the Cruiserweight Classic, taking people from across the world, trying to sign them. NXT has been doing it for years now, raiding the independent scene like Vince raided the territories in the 80s. If you had the choice, which five wrestlers, give or take, do you want to see signed with the WWE coming up between probably now and Mania? Who's on your wish list?
Okay. Now, this is also assuming that they're going to be used correctly.
Correct. I mean, sorry. Let's shed a quick tear for Apollo Crews. All right.
Ooh.
We want them to be more AJ Styles than Apollo Crews.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. Jay Lethal.
All right. No struggle braids.
Maybe grow his hair back out and then join the WWE.
How does he cut a promo with the lisp? It's still crazy.
Okay, I saw a video today of him imitating Ric Flair and then looked away and I didn't know who was who.
Oh, yeah. No, he's incredible with imitations. Hopefully they don't give him that gimmick again. I think that was TNA Jay Lethal. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else is out there? The Young Bucks. Prince Puma. Oh, I'm sorry. Ricochet. Moose and... All right, do the Young Bucks count as two or one?
One. And shout out to Moose, friend of the podcast, in TNA, killing it. Hopefully this leads to WWE signing him in the next year or so.
And, I mean, to finish off the the TNA thing, EC3.
Yes, bring him back. He started NXT, bring him back, let it come full circle. Now he has a gimmick, now he has a look. This is the guy that they thought would be one of the faces of the company. This is everything they want Roman Reigns to be. And on the real, like, EC3 and Roman Reigns were both in NXT, all this stuff, similar paths. They cut EC3, Roman Reigns somehow gets this mega push, and he can't say two words. EC3 is just incredible in every way, Roman is not. It's time for the kid to come back. That's great, though. It was an amazing segment. Went by in a blink, talking wrestling. Thanks for coming through once again. Make sure you plug everything. Let people know where to find you.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Christian J. Lee. I do a little podcast with a couple buddies of mine. Shout outs to Smalls and Bud. It's called The Fight Gamers Wrestling Show. You can find that at Fight Gamers. Got a lot of content coming out from the WWE 2K17 release. So actually, we have videos out from that. And I mean, that's about it.
Nah, great. Thanks for joining us on the show. I'm gonna have to come on the podcast, chop it up with you guys one day. Hey, sit down, talk wrestling and everything. Hey,
whenever you get a chance, Small said he would love to talk boxing with you. He said he turns into Stephen A. Smith, so
tell him it's on. And for the record, I am not Kel Bayless, as Andreas Hale has said several times on his podcast. Nah, thanks for joining us. You guys stay right there. We're bringing in our next guest. Listen up. Because we need help putting out the show that you love for free every week, giving it free to the people, now we know nobody likes filling out surveys, but we really need you to do it. It won't take you more than 5 minutes, and besides helping out the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 iTunes gift card. You know what I can do with $100 on iTunes? I'm living life large on iTunes with that, and you guys get that just for helping us out. We know some of you may have already done surveys like this in the past, but we really need you to log in and fill this thing out as accurately as possible.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, once we know more about you, we'll be able to deliver the show and the sponsors you dream about. Finding sponsors who are a good fit means we get to give you the deals and information, the brands you care about, while keeping this show free to enjoy every week. Free to enjoy every week. It means you don't have to pay to subscribe for nothing. All right, if you don't care about helping us and making the show better, do it for the chance to win a free iTunes or Amazon.com gift card, right? You know, like, do it for free. Do it for the gifts. And if there's not, you know, just think about it. If there's not that many of you doing it, there's a better chance to win. So please, do us this solid and go to thecornersurvey.com. Once again, that's thecornersurvey.com. Do that. Keep the lights on for us. Let us cater to what you need. You know, you can tell us what you like and what you don't like, and then we can keep it all funky and knock this thing out.
I know the Corner Club got our back. You guys are going to fill out that survey. We're going to get more ads. We're going to be bringing you this for free for a long, long time. So shout out to y'all. All right, our next guest joining me on the Fan Appreciation Show is Sean, a.k.a. Boom Bap Dad, who's been listening forever. He's always giving us his input, always hitting us up. It's just a good year and a half of support, man. It's great finally talking to people who've been here almost since the beginning. So it is great to just see him come through and show love to the show. So, Sean, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm appreciative of getting the invite. Very happy. Very happy, man. It's my first podcast, so I'm a little nervous. Hopefully I don't embarrass the Corner fans out there. So, you know, let's do it.
Nah, it's going to be strong. It's going to be strong. For everyone listening, Sean is taking time out to join me, even though he's in the airport, headed to a bachelor party in Spain?
Portugal. It's in Portugal, and I wouldn't say it's a bachelor party. Let's just say it's a guys get-together to conference, fellowship, catch up, that kind of thing. So I'm going to call it a bachelor party, just kind of like a get together.
Okay,
we're going to Portugal.
Yeah, cool. Just in case your ladies listening, it's not a bachelor party. That's fine. It's just a guys trip. Air quotes,
yes, it is,
no problem.
Yeah,
we'll cover all the bases.
Yes.
You're not here to get in
trouble.
I got through
customs, so you know I'm just about clear. So you know I can't get tripped up as I'm getting on a plane.
Nah, good. You know, recently we've been talking about all of the stuff with Kaepernick and the protests and everything. And I know you've always hit us up on Twitter. You shared your thoughts and you have a unique perspective because you're in education, you're an administrator. You see that now these schools are protesting or taking a knee and seeing how people are coming out kind of against the students as well. And it's an odd place for, you know, administrators to be in. You get to see both sides. How is it affecting you on your day to day?
So I just, it's always interesting when I watch the news and I see like these, you know, kids get in trouble or the way that situations are handled. And I'm looking at my brethren. I'm like, are they serious? Are they really thinking when they're doing some of these things? And, you know, here's the thing with Colin Kaepernick, whether you agree with him or not, you have to respect the fact that he's, you know, following his constitutional right, you know, and he's doing it in a nonviolent manner. And, you know, for kids to follow suit, you know, we have a Supreme Court case that allows kids to also express themselves as long as it's not, you know, disruptive to the school environment, and not, you know, doing anything, you know, abrasive or what have you. So, you know, if kids are doing it, you know, my thing would be, you know, if I had a son or daughter, you know, I have a daughter, but, you know, they're of that age and they say, you know, they want to do it. My only thing would be like, just tell me why you're doing it. Explain why you're doing it, not just because you're trying to be cool. And if they can do that, then I'm all good with it. Now, if said administrator at that school wants to suspend my kids, then I got a problem.
Because I'm like, problem. It's furniture moving.
Yeah. I'm like, well, based on what? What did she do? You know, she didn't bother anybody. She took a knee. She was very quiet. So I'm not understanding why, you know, she got suspended. And yeah, I'd have a major problem with that. And the other piece is just the fact that, you know, people are making death threats on kids. You know, I mean, you know, it just brings it back to why people are protesting in the first place. Like people, you know, just the way they're approaching this thing is just kind of indicative of, you know, everything that's just kind of going on. It's like the world is topsy-turvy right now.
Yeah, it's a microcosm of what's happening, and they don't even understand that when they take it from a national conversation and even make it local with these schools, and then they attack them, and it's just like, this is why those kids need to take a knee as well. It's because they don't have the Kaepernick problems of the world, or they might not have the same problems as other places, like a Ferguson or anything like that, but they have their own problems that they're dealing with, and these people are highlighting those problems. So it's always funny to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, the kids, you know, they deal with racism and injustice in a different way. You know, it's not like Ruby Bridges or, you know, Little Rock or anything like that, where they got dogs out front and water hoses or anything. But, you know, it's just like the disproportionate amount of kids. I mean, African-Americans were pulled over and stopped and frisked and so forth. I mean, you have the same thing that happens in schools with kids who are being suspended, kids who are being written up, so forth. You know, I always like to use the example of, you know, I'm in the airport right now, right? And if it's a young group of black girls and they're quote unquote being loud and, you know, what have you, you might have some people like, oh, they're being ghetto and rolling their eyes or what have you. But if you, on the flip side, if you have a group of, you know, young white girls or what have you, it's they're being exuberant, they're being excited, they're being cheerful or what have you. And so people don't even realize some of the lenses that they're looking at things. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of things that kids are dealing with that, you know, they're highlighting.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our listeners listened to an episode we had not too long ago, but I said I coach high school football. It's something I love doing in my off time when I'm not writing or covering sports. And it's crazy because I see that same thing happening. Like, the kids who don't have a strong family base at home get suspended because there's no one to speak up for them. And it just so happens to be in our school that a lot of the black kids don't have two-parent households. They don't have, you know, a mom that can come down and take time off of work and talk to the principal or administrator who's wrongfully suspending their kid. So those kids miss out on school, miss out on education. They get the short end of the stick when maybe a kid who has two parents at home, great meals, you know, one parent's a stay-at-home mom or something, they get in trouble. That parent comes and complains. That kid's in school the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily like the two-parent household versus the one parent. I think it's more so.
Or just the support system in general.
Yeah, it's also just knowing, you know, what the system is. And sometimes I'll sit in meetings and, you know, I have people who are sitting there saying X, Y, and Z, and you can see that that particular parent doesn't understand what's going on. And it doesn't mean you have to talk down to them, but you need to make sure that you relate it and explain in a way that a person can understand, you know, what's going on. And sometimes people just start talking fast, and, you know, next thing you know, the kid is suspended, and the person's like, okay, I guess my kid did X, Y, and Z, rather than ask the probing questions around, hey, why is it? Did you follow due process? You know, how many witnesses? Those kind of things. So, yeah.
No, definitely. Transitioning this to the world of, you know, pro wrestling, MMA, we haven't seen anyone really take a stand. There's a couple MMA guys who have spoken out previously on these crimes that are going on and just, you know, Black Lives Matter, stuff of that nature. But recently, since the Kaepernick protests, we haven't seen anyone really take a stance. Boxing, MMA, or pro wrestling. Why are these three genres, you think, kind of last on the horizon?
Because those three don't have unions. They got more to lose. They're, you know, what is it, independent contractors. You know, Dana White can hire and fire someone without much retribution. You can say, oh, this person lost X number of fights. So, you know, I'm not, you know, he's fired. Tyrone Wheatley, you know, we wanted him to fight Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and he said he wanted to fight Nate Diaz, so he's out. You know, when maybe he said, oh, you know, this is unfair. So, you know, and in boxing, I mean, you got Vince McMahon, who is like the Wizard of Oz. I mean, he is the all-controlling, all-seeing. You saw what he did to
Titus O'Neil for a hug.
Titus O'Neil, yeah. So, and we know that the McMahons are known contributors to the Republican Party, very conservative. Not saying that connotates that they're automatically, you know, going to speak out on those kind of, you know, they're going to chastise somebody for speaking out on those things, but they're probably going to raise an eye, or there might be some retribution if you say something that goes against their political affiliation, you know? So when you might say Black Lives Matter, and you're like, what are you talking about, Black Lives Matter? All lives matter, you know? And what about what's going on in Chicago? Nobody's saying anything about going there. You know, they go to the their go-to moves, the red herrings that you know, to try to explain away, you know, the injustices that are going on, so.
It's weird because taking like an entity like the WWE, we obviously know there's not many black champions. We don't know when we're going to see new black champions outside of the New Day who made the most out of their horrible gimmick that they were given.
It won't be Apollo, what do they call him, Apollo Creed?
Apollo Creed? Oh, man. Apollo Crews ain't even his name no more. Apollo Creed. It's
Apollo, it's Apollo Jobber.
It's rough right now, you know, to be a black athlete in the WWE, but you have to start wondering, like, when are these guys going to get frustrated, not even with their push, but with the lack of social awareness? We see Connor's Cure, which is great, and is pushing the agenda for cancer. We just saw them on Monday Night Raw this week honor three women who beat breast cancer, because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and they gave them titles and bought that out, which is great as well. That affects everyone in the WWE. But Black Lives Matter and these movements affect their fan base as well. And it seems like, you know, if there's not a month for it, if there's not a day for it, they're not pushing the agenda. And these athletes aren't pushing for them to push for it. There were all breast cancer ribbon shirts yesterday, which is perfectly fine. But it should be a matter of time until they say, you know what? These people are dying in the streets. We need a shirt for them. And we need to wear this on Monday Night Raw.
Well, you got to also remember, WWE is a publicly traded company, and a lot of that stuff plays well in the media. And they're not going to do anything that is going to cause, you know, one of their corporate sponsors to say, hey, why are you causing all of this, stirring up all this kind of, you know, news? Just keep everything plain and vanilla, and, you know, we can continue this partnership. So no matter how right one may see the cause, they're not going to do anything to upset the status quo. And, you know, once again, it's all about the mighty dollar. It ain't about black, it ain't about white, it's about green. And that's what they're going to push.
Yeah, the PG era stretches so far, because best believe if this was the 90s, the Nation of Domination would have been talking about it. They would have been out in full Black Lives Matter tee and all that stuff. But yeah, you're so right.
and Triple H would have been probably doing a promo in blackface against it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how that goes before. On a lighter note, though, the WWE also, one of their most recent partnerships have been with Puff Daddy and Bad Boy, and there's a Bad Boy tour going on, and he did the entire music for the video game that's coming out. You went to the Bad Boy concert, the reunion concert.
Yes, I did. I was lucky. One of my friends got us tickets in the suite, And, balling. You know, nah, man, I'm in education, remember? and it was crazy. I mean, I went to college. I went to Hampton University. And I was in that era, the Tunnel, Palladium, that whole Height of the Bad Boy era. And it was like everybody in there, you know, the girls who are now lawyers and doctors got reverted back to chicken heads. The guys who thought they were little wannabe thugs, you know, the guys who are now, you know, owning businesses, you know, having two or three kids, whatever, paid, you know, are now reverting back to when they were little wannabe thugs. It was just funny. It was just, everybody was just rocking. And you don't really remember how many hits Puff Daddy had, because there was like stuff he just left on the table, you know. And it was a great show. You know, I know in my timelines, everybody who went, you know, they're like, oh man, you know, they going back. They got Black Rob. They got 112. They got, you know, and I'm sitting there doing my little Puff Daddy dance. And it was great.
Yo, you should have rocked the shiny suit, though. It wasn't equipped without the shiny suit.
Yo, funny you say that. So I had lost a lot of weight. And I used to have a real black and gold Versace shirt, and I still had it, and I was going to wear it with some black slacks, but it was like a double XL, and now I wear a medium, so I couldn't do it. But I would have done it. I would have done it. I would have wore the old school Versace shirt up in there.
Congrats, by the way, because, you know, I follow you on Instagram, and your pictures with the luxurious beard looking like Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, like, you're just... The weight loss, like looking at your before and after pictures, it's incredible. You can step in the octagon right now. Like, you are just fit and trim.
Yeah, and get my ass kicked.
That's unless right. I fight better CM Punk. Punk.
Unless I fight CM Punk, otherwise I'm getting my ass kicked. So.
You do all right. Now, the Bad Boy Reunion Tour, like you were saying, is dope. Every city having surprise guests is really cool and something that I like. Talking about UFC.
Yeah, DMX.
Oh, who was your surprise guest? No, go ahead.
Well, DMX came out. He came out. I guess they, you know, pulled him out the crack house, and he did his thing. I mean, you forget once again, DMX, how many hits he had, and he had the crowd going crazy. So, I don't know if they're going to Vegas yet, but if they do, I definitely recommend, you know, hitting it up.
Yeah, they were in Vegas on Saturday.
Okay.
So I missed it because I went to WWE. But them and WWE are here the same night. LA has a couple of shows. I might drive out there in the next couple of days to hit up one of LA shows. It's a concert. Me, I grew up in the Bad Boy era, like you said. So I was there throughout the entire process. I remember Uptown Records. My godfather was an A&R at Uptown. So I remember those days.
Oh, you wanna say Small World? My dad was a manager and worked with all of those, all those groups in New Jack Swing era, Guy, Rex and Effect, Blackstreet, all of them. In fact, he is actually in a number of Guy videos.
See, I was the little kid in all the videos growing up. Like, I was the one running around the offices downtown, you know, running into Andre Harrell's office, just throwing stuff on the floor, trying to play hide and seek. Like, I was that little kid in New York. So, I mean, I grew up through that entire era. I saw Bad Boy being created. I remember running in to Mary J. before she was signed, when they just bought her from Yonkers. Like, I remember all of these things. So to see everyone come back, I remember one day Heavy D flew me around like Superman, the entire offices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember those days. So it's crazy to go back and revisit that. And that's something I definitely have to do on this tour.
Definitely.
Before we get out of here, though, we were talking UFC a little bit with your, you know, good chance at beating CM Punk. But to tie it into the Bad Boy theme, UFC 205 is coming up. Connor's headlining it, of course. It has some of my favorite entrances in that UFC 205. Frankie Edgar, when his drops, kicking the door, is going to be incredible in New York. McGregor with Notorious in NYC. What are some of your favorite entrances in the UFC? Like, if we had to put you on the spot, top five, do a quick pound list, who would you put in the top five?
Now, I'm going to do it if you do it.
All right.
You got some?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say I'm going to have to give an honorable mention to Shook Ones. by Mobb Deep. And then Welcome to the Terror Dome, Public Enemy.
All right.
New York State of Mind, Nas. Now, here's an obscure one. Young, Gifted, and Black by Jay-Z. It was on the S. Carter Collection. he comes in and says, I'm America's worst nightmare, young, black, and holding my nuts like, yeah. I'm like, I'm yeah, that, just talking shit. Can't Tell Me Nothing by Kanye. And then my number one, and I actually, when we got married and they announced Mr. and Mrs. Frank, this is what I played, Ante Up by M.O.P.
Ooh, tough.
Yeah, yeah. If you hear them M.O.P. coming in, you know, I like, that's pandemonium, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't deny that.
So let me hear, what you got? What you got?
All right, let's see. If I had to create an entrance song, it's tough because five would put me in a pretty tough spot. But I'll go down my list real quick. Off the top of my head, I'll go Dynasty Intro by Jay-Z.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That'd okay. be one. Onyx Slam.
Okay.
Would be another. I'd have to go More Money, More Problems. And that's okay. like if I win a couple fight and I'm just feeling luxurious, I have to come out on my Conor McGregor swag. Victory. But not okay, yes. Biggie Victory, Lloyd Banks Victory from the mixtapes in like 2002.
Ooh,
Banks
ooh,
Victory.
You're trying
with,
to go deep.
Yo, with 50 Cent doing the intro where Puff was. Ooh, that's what I would come okay. out to. Or
okay, I see where you're going.
Or 100% by Big Pun. Just because okay. to show love to my Puerto Rican side, I'd have to drop that. And when it just comes in, it'd be like, Puerto Rico. And then, Tomo Ma. And then the beat drops, woo, I'd be hyped. All my Puerto Ricans in okay. NYC. That'd be okay. like my, yeah, my June Puerto Rican Day parade entrance to the Octagon.
Yes. Yes. That's the equivalent. If you play that in New York, that's like the Irish getting hyped for Connor.
Exactly.
It's going to get crazy.
I would yes. bring Tony Sunshine and sit him on the platform like he was Sinead O'Connor. With his Terror Squad chain on. So if I had to do the mashup, I would do that with Tony Sunshine on the platform and then have Remy Ma and Fat Joe walk me out rhyming.
Okay, okay.
Boom. That's the high price. They don't have to break the budget.
Okay, okay. Man, you pulled some. That Lloyd Banks one. That was a good one. That's vintage G Unit.
Yeah,
so,
man. That's yes, real when you got to go to the mixtape days to get your entrance music.
Yeah, not the power version of 50 Cent, like, you know,
no,
the 50
no.
Cent was 50 Cent.
Nah, this is ghetto Quran 50 Cent, like back in the day yeah. when he was getting pre-indicted 50 Cent.
G-Unit is the future. That's
exactly.
50 Cent.
That 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Where you have to go to a barbershop yeah. to cop the mixtape.
Yes, yes, yes. No. I used to go to Harlem Music Hut. That's where I used to get my mixtapes. So shout out everybody uptown, South Bronx, stand up.
Of course. Now, yes. I'd like to thank you for taking time out, though, in the middle of that crazy airport going through customs all extra fast. Hope, you know, I was just hoping, I was like, man, I hope they just know he's trying to do the show and not running through with something.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
trying to stop him tackling you.
I was going to hop over luggage, you know, run through the airport if I had to and just find somewhere to stop and talk to you. I'm a huge fan. You know, I remember a year and a half ago hearing your show was like a perfect combination of things that I'm into. You and Andreas, keep doing what you're doing. You know, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me.
Thanks
Hopefully
so much.
We can do it again down the road. Just
of
let
course.
Me know.
Of course, of course. Anytime. Thank you for joining us once again. Everybody else, stay tuned. We're bringing another guest in right after the break. We'll talk more hip-hop combat sports for you. So quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Before we continue to talk more combat sports, we've got to give another thanks to Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses combine two technologies, springing latex foam and supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface. Have y'all ever slept on memory foam? It's like floating on air. It's that great. And this is how we get our sleep. So you guys make sure that you check it out. Casper mattresses are made in the USA and have free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Shout out to the Great North. You can buy your Casper mattress easy online, and it's completely risk-free.
Look, dude, you spend like a third of your life sleeping, and Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress before you commit. Look, so if you aren't satisfied with the Casper mattress, you got a 100-day period. Yeah, that's right, 100 days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping? By about that time, I think I know if I like my mattress. So get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And you can save an additional $50 towards your Casper mattress by going to casper.com/thecorner and entering the promo code thecorner. That's casper.com/thecorner. Promo code thecorner to save $50 towards your Casper purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Look, again, man, I like to sleep, and these things are for real.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for staying tuned. Thanks to all the sponsors, once again, Casper Mattresses. Make sure you guys fill out that survey that you heard earlier. It's huge for the podcast. Andreas will be back next week from his quick little hiatus. We're going to be giving you the show like normal, going back and forth. Give him some goddamn it Andreas moments. I know it doesn't sound the same, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it a thing at the end of this year. But we're bringing in our next guest right now, my main man, Tan. Tan, what's up? Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
No, it's great. It's great. I love doing these fan appreciation shows. Everyone's been great so far. I know you will do the same. And we're starting off with boxing, which is great because it's been, you know, a while since we've been able to really dive into some boxing. We finally had some good fights the past month, and it looks like we're going to get a couple more good fights coming up. So it's dope that sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, it looks like December and November is going to be a great month with HBO being able to pick up a lot more fights with Canelo being out with injuries, so they'll have a lot of money to spread out to other fights.
Talking about fights, one fighter that's been in the news, Tyson Fury. We thought that was one fight we're going to see. We thought we were going to see him and Klitschko or him and Joshua, anything at that point. And then to see that he's battling with cocaine, it doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon, if all. What are your thoughts on Tyson Fury and kind of where it leaves the heavyweight division?
Well, Tyson Fury came off a big win last year. He won three titles, and ever since then, it's been downhill. Him losing, him having to vacate one of his titles because he was due to fight Vladimir Glasov for the IBF because he was his number one mandatory. And once he gave that up, because it wasn't a big fight, now all the titles are starting to split. He's just dragging things a lot further and further with all these delays and setbacks because we were supposed to get Klitschko 2 in May and then push back to October. Now everything's going to get split up even further, and it's going to make the heavyweight title mix picture much more spread out.
Yeah, that's crazy because he really single-handedly is held up the heavyweight division. Do you think it's just time to strip him of the titles, figuring it's something like substance abuse, strip him of the titles and just have Joshua and Klitschko go at it? Because if Anthony Joshua is what everyone thinks he is and Klitschko is on the decline, or if we saw what we saw, you know, in the first fight against, in his last fight where he took the L to Tyson Fury, if we see that Klitschko again, he's getting knocked out by an Anthony Joshua. Do you think that this is the fight that needs to be made? Or do you want to see a guy like Wilder challenge Joshua already, or Wilder versus Klitschko? Where do you want to see the heavyweight division go?
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing a Klitschko-Joshua fight. Because that even though people say that Klitschko's washed, I still think he has a little left. And it would be Joshua's biggest test to date. Guaranteed, it'd be better than any opponent Wilder faced today as well. And but I don't see it just being two title holders. I think like the WBC is by Wilder, and he's going to be out for a significant amount of time with his hand injury. So they're already trying to schedule a interim title for his WBC with Povetkin and Stavern. And when Wilder comes back, he's going to be mandatory for one of those titles. The IBF is Joshua's. He's supposed to fight Joshua Parker or Joshua Parker. That New Zealand heavyweight.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking that Parker's going to be going a different route now. Either the WBO once the WBO vacates, strips the theory of his titles, of his title.
Which is
and
smart.
Then the yeah. But then with the WBA, it's gonna. I don't know what the WBA is because they originally had that tournament going on with Fury, Luis Ortiz, Klitschko, yeah. and Fred Oquendo, and I don't remember who else was in there, and Usanoff. What's going on there? They don't really have a true, like,
champion.
They don't have a real great setup with the WBA. I think the WBA is, like, one of the worst because they should be having mandatory. They should have never even had those regular titles with Danny Jacobs versus Triple G, which I'm still praying that happens December 10th, but we don't know what's going to happen there. So now all the heavyweight titles are going to be more split up than when Klitschko had all three of the four titles, and the other title was held by his brother for a very long time.
So the heavyweight division, like you definitely said it, it's going to be up in limbo because we have one of the biggest stars injured with a hand. We have another star fighting, trying to get his life together after substance abuse. We have Klitschko, who people say is on the decline. How much is he worth? And will he even travel outside of Russia to take these major fights? That's the next hurdle. Because right now, Joshua is the A-side. Is he going to O2 in London to fight Joshua? Maybe he's stubborn. Maybe he still would like Joshua to go there, even though Joshua is a champion. So there's so many just a revolving door at heavyweight. But waiting for that to figure itself out, we have Ward versus Kovalev. And that's coming up. And honestly, it's for the number one pound for pound in the world?
Some would say. I don't really take pound for pound too much because a lot of people have different criteria. It's just people's own opinion, but they are two of the top fighters in the world.
Definitely. You would, where would you, not to put you under the gun, but that you, I'm assuming they'd both be in your top five.
Yeah.
Current fighters.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's the first time we're seeing two top five fighters in the ring together since, I can't remember the last time. Because Pacquiao, to me, wasn't a top five fighter when he fought Mayweather.
No.
So, it's rough. I can't think of the last time we had two legit top five fighters face off.
No, I've only been a big boxing fan since about 2012. So, I don't really go back too far.
Yeah, it's not.
So, I wouldn't remember.
It hasn't happened often, I tell you that much. No. So, it's a fight that I feel like should be getting more hype. Granted, it's, 6 weeks away, but it feels like a fight that, if anything's to be deemed a mega fight or a super fight, this was supposed to be it. It's kind of falling a little flat. Andre Ward isn't, the hype machine that Andre Ward once was. Taking a hiatus like he did really hurt him in terms of selling potential. And then Kovalev, people are still just up in the air. They don't know who he is. They know that he knocks people out. He has amazing power. But a fight against Bernard Hopkins was probably his biggest fight to date. So it's rough to kind of sell these two guys. What end are you on? Are you overly excited just because you know the skill of these fighters? Or are you just kind of like, oh, okay, it's there?
I know that they're really good, but it's to the casuals, it's going to be harder to sell because none of these, both of them aren't hugely promoted. I mean, yes, they're Ward is promoted by Roc Nation, but they're not they're not putting him out there to promote the fight. It's unlike like the UFC. Like they're everywhere. They're you see them everywhere. With like boxing, the promotion is horrible. They're just trying to rely on names, and it's you can't really sell that. It's too difficult unless you put yourself out there, which a lot of them don't. And it's especially if you're fighting to somebody like Kovalev, who, and like somebody like Triple G. It's hard to promote them because they're not the best at speaking English, you know? So.
No, it's definitely uphill battle.
I hope it does well.
No, yeah. I mean, if it does well, we know people are tuning in for the boxing. If it doesn't, we know we live in a world where the Conor McGregors will always dominate because you need to be able to talk and sell before you can do anything else. We saw Floyd Mayweather. People complain about how boring Floyd was or his fighting style was, but they bought the fight every time because he talked them into it. So yeah, it's an interesting time to live in. Talking about Triple G a little bit, though, do you think we ever see him versus Canelo? And if you do you think, you know, it's anytime soon?
That's I don't know. I think that's tough to say. I'm hoping it does happen next year, next September. But I see that Canelo's the star, but like the offer that they gave, like the $10 million. I don't think that everybody says that Canelo or Triple G should take the $10 million. Why? Why? Because they say he should. The $10 million is like nothing to them, because realistically the pay per view should do much more than make net like $10 million. So I don't know why there should not be a revenue split between it.
Yes,
that's what I see. But I hope that happens next year. But I could see Canelo's team waiting it out until he gets older and much slower than he is.
That's the key. You know, that's always been my point. Like, they always got that from Mayweather. Mayweather fought the best of his generation in his weight class. People can't deny that. But he never fought them in his prime or in their prime. He always waited. Either they were too young, like a Canelo Alvarez, to really know what they were doing, or they were too old and washed, like an Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ortiz and all these guys. Like, he caught them at the right time. And that's what's key. And I think that's what Canelo, or mostly De La Hoya, learned from Mayweather. So, because I think if it was up to Canelo, he'd fight Triple G, you know, tomorrow if he could. He'd fight him in May. He'd do the fight because he honestly doesn't care. He wants to fight. He wants to be the best in the world. He thinks he's the best in the world. Except that Oscar De La Hoya knows, like, we're not stopping the money train. And this isn't how you make money. You take fights when you want to take them, when it's beneficial to you. And De La Hoya sees the big picture. Like we were talking about, if they fight, it'd be great. $10 million is nowhere near worth enough. I saw Timothy Bradley pocket 4.5 not too long ago.
But did he also get pay per view upside too?
He did.
He
had to have walked with around $7-8 million against Pacquiao to lose.
Yeah. People are saying like 50-50. Like I know Triple G doesn't deserve 50-50, but if you go by like their standard pay per view sales, Canelo's really only averaging what, around 300,000 pay per views by himself as the A side.
Yeah.
I mean, Americon maybe like 500 max. So, and Triple G for his one pay per view against somebody that most don't know, did around 150.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's not like a 50-50 in terms of revenue share, but it should be like 70-30, 60-40 max.
Yeah, 65-35, around that range, you know, just somewhere. Yeah. Now, what's interesting is, could they give, and I always wondered, and this is how, you know, they get the Bradley deals done and a lot of this stuff first, is that they give those guys a flat rate. So if they say, you know what, either you can take pay-per-view buys and everything and we'll see how that goes, or you can take this $15 million and shut up, or you can take this $20 million and that's all you get, but my fighter gets this guaranteed plus pay-per-view revenue as the A side. If they did that and they could get it down to 60-40, with Triple G taking the guaranteed and Canelo taking the 60 guaranteed plus pay-per-view, it should even out to whatever they want the distribution to be. It could end up, you know, a deal that's 75-25 if it sells enough. Or it could end up a deal that's 65-35 at the end. So,
you're thinking it should be like tiered based on the pay-per-view sales?
Yeah, just one guy. Yeah. Canelo is banking on his earning potential. So if, you know, say there's $100 million on the table, Triple G gets 40, Canelo gets 60 million, but Triple G is not making anything off of pay-per-view revenue. So you paid him four times the amount that you offered him originally, but you're giving Canelo 60 million and saying, you know what, Canelo, you can make more if the pay-per-view sells more. So Canelo, you're guaranteed 60, but you can walk away with 85. Now, 85 compared to Triple G's 40 looks a lot bigger because you sold. So now it goes from a 60-40 split to more of a, I don't know, 70-30 split.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. I think that's how they should push these things with the A-sides.
Yeah, they definitely should.
And you don't know until afterwards. So you trick someone into signing a 60-40 deal, and they may end up signing an 80-20. You never know.
Yeah, but they have to have at least a minimum purse, because don't they have to technically kind of register under, like, the Nevada State or
the
whatever
Athletic Commission. But it's no different than the UFC. The commissions regulate guaranteed money. So fighting bonuses, pay-per-view points aren't regulated. UFC pays a lot of those things under the table or off the books, off the record. Those are all background negotiations. As long as you can negotiate the guaranteed money, you can make the fight happen and get it passed through to the commission. So I think that's a loophole they should really visit in boxing of getting these fights made, and something that helps UFC. So Nate Diaz has no clue what Conor McGregor makes in pay-per-view points. And Conor has no clue what Nate makes. So if Nate makes, you know, a 2% bump, or Conor makes an 8% bump, they don't know that. Only thing they see is Conor makes $1 million guaranteed and Nate made 700 guaranteed. In the end, Conor could walk away with 15 mil compared to Nate's 3 mil. But the two sides don't know until the numbers come back. So when you sign on the dotted line, it's like, okay, we're kind of even. But Conor knows he's nowhere near even to Nate. But Nate's people think, like, okay, we're even enough. So it's the dynamic missing from boxing, I think. And that's to make these mega fights happen, I think that's what they're going to have to do. Before we get out of here, though, and I love the boxing talk, once again, speak with my man, Tan. Tan, do you think we see Mayweather again? Do you think he comes back?
Yeah, I think we eventually see him back. I wouldn't know who into, because he did trademark like TV 50 or something like that a few months ago. So
tell me, you don't think it's against McGregor?
Something like that. Oh, no, I don't think it's going to be McGregor. they both want to just put each other's name out there for more publicity and stuff. But I don't think they'll ever fight.
Definitely not.
And they shouldn't.
Do you think Floyd takes a contender? Because we see guys, you know, Keith Thurman, Errol Spence, Sean Porter, guys who would give Mayweather a pretty good fight. Do you think he takes one of those guys, or do we get like the Cupcake Berto type fight again?
I'm thinking more, if it's going to be somebody that, so it would be somebody that would suit his style more. So I could see maybe like a Danny Garcia type, even though he is a champion, but he's just more, he's slower than most of the other fighters you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I think he would be perfectly suited against for Mayweather.
No, I agree. That's definitely a great matchup. Do you, by any chance, see Pacquiao going again? Because Pacquiao's coming up. We didn't even talk about that fight. He's coming up, and he has a fight. Does this fight possibly set up a him and Mayweather rematch?
It could set it up. It depends. I don't really know the truth to what's going on with Manny's pay-per-view post this upcoming fight, since this one's distributed by Top Rank. I don't know what's going on with his HBO contract still, if it's still a legal contract or not. So if there's an issue with Showtime and HBO trying to put on another fight together, that might be an issue, because it would be an I wouldn't even say a good fight, but it'd be another big fight. But it's going to be harder to sell. Who's going to want to really see it again? And who's going to want to see it again for at least $100?
Yeah, I think they'd have to keep it at the 60, maybe expect to sell 2 million, but not too many people sell 2 million pay-per-views. So, yeah. You know, you don't got to hit the 4.5. You can hit the 2 and walk away sitting pretty. It's something that we definitely got to keep our eye on. Once again, I want to thank you for joining the show and just talking boxing. It's amazing. Wealth of knowledge. Let everyone know where they can find you, social media and all that stuff.
You can find me on Twitter at TanV54, and that's basically the only social media I'll use.
Definitely. We'll tag Tan in all of this stuff. Tan, thank you for coming through. Our next guest is on the phone and ready. Brandon, a.k.a. at BePoet21. Brandon, what's up? Thanks for joining the podcast.
Hey, glad to be joining with you, Gales.
I know. You were hyped to get on the show. I was hyped to have you. I was like, yo, we got to make this happen. I have one more spot left. And I was like, you know what? I could rock with 3 guests for the podcast. That's what we did the first time for fan appreciation. But I was like, nah. You hit up the Twitter. You're like, man, I really hope I get chosen. I was like, yo, I almost forget you. So I was like, this has to happen. I was like, we're just going to have 4. I don't care. We're used to 2-hour podcasts anyway. I don't care. We had to get you on the show. You love everything. We love you. Always hit us up and let us know. And you wanted to come on and talk wrestling and MMA, so you know we had to have you on.
Man, truly appreciate it, man. This is wonderful.
Let's start with Sasha Banks. Now, I got a problem. I was talking to someone earlier. I had to let them know the same thing. You know, we're cool with all our listeners. Everyone's cool. We're tight. Corner Club for life. But we're going to have problems if everyone keeps claiming Sasha Banks is bae. We know that me and Sasha got this relationship going on, and we can't get to our full potential if everybody wants her as bae. There's plenty of other people. You can have Naomi. Ember Moon. Ember Moon is hot right now in NXT. There's plenty of people.
Hey, that's my bae. That's my bae right there.
Thank you. See, you could Ember Moon it is. I just need Sasha for myself, which is great. And now my bae has the belt. Ember Moon may be on her way to the NXT championship. But Sasha wins the belt again, but it's on Raw. Talked a little bit about it earlier. Does it downplay? Are they killing my bae by letting her only win on Raw? What's up with the pay-per-view wins?
I have to say it while I watched Raw that night. I was like, they letting Sasha win the women's title again on Raw? Like, why they couldn't wait for a Hell in a Cell? Which that is coming up, what, in a couple of weeks?
Yep, 3 weeks.
Yeah. I'm like, why they couldn't wait for that? Why she had to win the title again on Raw? That's what I don't get.
It makes no sense to me either. Like, I'm just like, give her the main stage. And it's great. It's great for the women to, quote unquote, say they're headlining Raw. Like, it's a major deal. I mean, we saw, I think it was Kane versus Wyatt headline it like 3 months ago before the brand split. It's like, yo, headlining Raw isn't that incredible anymore. They've had some pretty bad headlining matches.
Yes.
But they wanted to throw the women a bone and make it a big deal again to headline Raw. Like, we're in the Attitude Era. It's not the same.
And oh, man.
After 3 hours of wrestling, half the people checked out and didn't even see it.
Of course, because, shoot, they were bummed out from all the boring stuff they was putting on early on Raw.
Oh, man, it's like, rough.
It was horrible booking. That's what it was, horrible booking. I'm like, you guys going to put a women's match as a main event while other matches lacked.
Yeah, you got to build. Like, you got to keep us interested throughout if you want the women's match to feel special at the end. And they didn't do it. They dropped the ball. Real quick, are you tired of the New Day? I'm not, but a lot of people have been asking me. Is it wearing thin? 400 days holding the belts can be tiresome. And then now it looks like they have another feud that's not really a challenge.
I would say I love their gimmick. I mean, they should continue that. But as them as champions, I think it's time for them to drop them titles. It's about time. Because they've been holding it for over 400 days, which I think they're going to break that record. So as soon as they break that record, they should drop the titles.
Yeah, it seems honestly. Like I think they break the record if they keep holding it December 12th. it seems like it's time right after that. Because you're holding up teams like Enzo and Cass, who don't have a real feud right now.
No, they don't.
You're holding up the other team. I don't even know what other teams are in the division. Oh, Gallows and Anderson should have been taking the belts off of them.
They should have been. I thought SummerSlam, they should have took it from them. I'm like, wow, they're going to let New Day still continue?
And then now Gallows and Anderson are going into a different program. They're beating up on random tag teams. I had to watch them versus the Golden Truth.
I'm like, wow, y'all wasting this team? Like, y'all post them up. I mean, they came from New Japan. They was dominating New Japan. Like, they supposed to be dominating in WWE. But it seems like they're going to treat them like they treat the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Don't give them a shot.
Just horrible right now. Jared KO is kind of, it's all right, but it's wearing thin on me.
Yeah, that whole Jared KO, that should end. That should end pretty soon because right now Kevin Owens is like riding the mountaintop as the Universal Champion.
And he could carry himself. Like, he doesn't need Chris Jericho as a crutch. He doesn't need someone to help him cut promos and to talk. He's not Roman Reigns. He can talk mighty fine just by himself.
Yes, and of course, the salts he put on when you talk about people is just perfect.
Oh, and
that's why he don't need a sidekick.
Yeah, no, not at all. And Rollins is great on the mic, doing some of the best mic work we've seen from him. And those two just together can carry the program by themselves. I don't know why there's so many different aspects involved right now.
I don't know neither. I think WWE is like trying to do too much. Like, they should take time on what they superstars know who got potential, which Rollins and Kevin Owens are their top two players right now on the mic skills.
Yeah, and they got to ride it. Ride the high hand.
Just ride it. Don't try to rush.
Another thing they added to Raw, Cruiserweight Classic. Are you feeling the Cruiserweights?
I definitely am feeling them. I mean, they bring in at least a little excitement during the middle card. With the high flying, especially TJ Perkins, I'm like, oh my God, this guy is like incredible. This kid, you don't know what to expect from him every night. Do some daredevil.
Which is crazy.
And that's what fans love.
Yeah, he was like the third or fourth best on the season. Because you have Kota Ibushi, you had Zack Sabre Jr., you have Cedric Alexander when he gets his chance. As far as athleticism, man, that guy might hold the belt until, you know, WWE signed someone like Ricochet or something. Because Alexander just stole the show in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Mm-hmm. He definitely did. I thought he was going to win it all. But, hey.
And we haven't even seen a guy like Neville come through yet. They're building up all these Cruiserweight guys, and we don't see the Cruiserweights already on roster. Neville's not there. Kalisto was hurt, but he's on SmackDown. So what happened to the established Cruiserweights you can put from your roster in there to have a storyline? It's weird what they're doing on Raw.
Yes, it's very weird. It's like they just throwing people in there and they say, hey, just be on our show and we just do whatever we want to do with you.
Sign me up right now for Neville versus TJ Perkins.
That would be a Survivor Series, match.
Whatever. Oh, incredible high-flying match, all pace, tempo. Oh, it'd be so many moves we don't even know names for.
Of course. Because them guys will put their bodies on the line just to get the fans on their feet.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Flipping to the other brand, SmackDown, pay-per-view coming up. We have No Mercy. I prefer watching Tuesdays than Mondays. Just because SmackDown is shorter, it seems like they have smart storylines going on. Even if the names aren't as big, it's okay. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going with stuff. So even like Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss, they get you involved. They give you a storyline. Yes. They hook you in, even with lesser teams or lesser people on the roster. This pay-per-view, like last month's, has, you know, the ability to come up and surprise people. Are you excited for this pay-per-view? If you are, which match are you looking forward to? How is it going down for you?
I won't say I'm excited. I'm actually looking forward to watching it this Sunday. Because it seems like it's a very interesting card. While I looked at it, I'm like, okay, we got Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch for the Women's title, which I got to say, Alexa Bliss, she's actually showing that she could prove herself that she could wrestle.
Yeah, she's good on the mic. Her being just super small might hurt her a bit. in the ring. But it's cool as long as she sells it really well and plays that kind of like, oh, everything hurts me, but I'm tough enough to get up angle. She'll be fine.
Yep.
And like I said on the mic, I enjoy her work. She's gotten so much better. She has a star look to her.
It's yes, just, she does.
If she can hold up physically and not get hurt and stand the test of time. But yeah. It's a great first test. She didn't even get this test in NXT. She got no push.
No, none at all. And so, this is a moment.
Oh, yeah.
This is a moment. She should take it.
She's taking it. I mean, listen, Nia Jax is over on Raw doing nothing.
Oh, God. Oh, Nia Jax. Oh, no.
She's doing
nothing. They wasted her.
Yeah. So, I mean, Alexa Bliss is making the most out of her opportunity. So, that's going to be a great match.
Yes, she is.
Let's run down the card, actually. We have Curt Hawkins versus To Be Determined. I had to Google who Curt Hawkins was before we get on a podcast. No one cares about that. I'm assuming that's on either a dark match. Or it's
I
going
think that's
going to
be a pre-show. That's going to be a pre-show match.
We have Nikki Bella versus Carmella.
That could be interesting. I mean, this Survivor has been going off since, before the first pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Of SmackDown. So this is going to be very interesting. Like, I don't know who's going to win this match, but we're definitely going to see Carmella try to short Nikki.
Well, Total Divas debuted this week, so I know who's going to win this match. when the show is on television and every other commercial is about them, or excuse me, Total Bellas, it's not even Divas, and Total Bellas debut.
Total Bellas.
So I expect Nikki to win. This kind of like a number one contenders match, though. So I expect Nikki to go into the program. It'd be great if she was heel again, or even two faces. Just let them rock out. It doesn't always have to be face heel combination.
Then right.
Her versus Becky.
Mix it up.
Yeah, let the people decide. We have Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos.
I don't like the Heath Slater and Rhino combination. I really want the Usos to actually win this title. I want to see how they are as heels.
I like heel champions. Usos so far. You know, even though I feel like they're banging on me, but outside of that, I mean, it's cool. You know, just don't do anything crazy in the ring. I don't need to see like a crip walk or anything in Celebration.
But no.
It's coming.
Right. They will do something crazy.
Yeah, heel Usos seem good. Slater and Rhino are in the tag team. They're two guys who are thrown together. I said it earlier. I think it's kind of like WrestleMania when we just saw Zack Ryder win the title and we're like, oh, Zack Ryder's the Intercontinental Champion, and then the belt was taken off him like that and he disappears. And I think this was Heath Slater's moment. They gave it to him. Rhino's a politician. He got other stuff to do. Election time's coming up. I think it's their time to drop the belt, man. Usos is heels.
Yeah.
And plus, your next great tag team is just waiting there. And they're over-the-top baby faces in American Alpha. So.
Oh, yes. American Alpha, yeah. Because they should be the ones going after the title.
Exactly. The Usos already hurt them in the storyline. It's built in for a title chase. So I think this is the time Slater and Rhino come up off the belts.
Exactly.
So that's my pick. We also have Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin.
Sleeper.
Yep.
That's a sleeper.
But Corbin has to get some type of push. They're still pushing the Big Bad Wolf gimmick. He's going to win.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews isn't even on the card. Maybe he fights Curt Hawkins. I don't know. He'll probably lose again. But when you go from...
on the brand?
Yo, I'm telling you, you can't... He went, got an IC title match... And then next thing you know, you look up and he can't even get on a pay-per-view, on a brand split pay-per-view.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Not at all.
He needs to go back down to NXT or get repackaged. Something got to change. You can't be a smiling black man. I've said it a million times.
Yeah, like Andreas said, like, sure, it's time for him to be the angry black man.
It is, man. It is. You know what? He got to come out full Kaepernick. If I'm him, I don't even tell nobody. I walk out in a Kaepernick jersey. And just walk up, watch the Intercontinental Championship match, and take a knee. You're talking about heat? Get some heat. Force them to use you in the storyline. What else do we have on the card, though? We have The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Title versus career. Is this the last we see of Ziggler?
Yeah, that is a great question. Is this the last match that Dolph Ziggler is going to participate? I don't know, because there was plenty of times that Dolph Ziggler should have won, but you know, The Miz, He's always the escape artist.
Always.
He makes sure that he's going to get the win.
And Maurice is like the ace in his back pocket. I see Ziggler losing. I'm not sure if Ziggler has a movie coming up, but this would be a perfect time and way to get him to go just record another movie or something. No one is really, you know, it's cool. Like, you just sneak out real quick and then bring him back and avenge his loss and maybe get a contract on Raw. Say, you know, I retired from SmackDown, but I didn't retire from Raw. And just see him in 2 months come back to the Raw brand. He's going to be a jobber wherever he goes, so it's a great way to get a switch over, maybe bring Cesaro over to SmackDown or something like that in this whole thing. So I see Ziggler losing.
Yeah, I do too. And hey, Ziggler could do like Jack Swagger, just go to another brand.
That's it, just bounce. We also have Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. They're burying my boy Bray, and I see the burying continue. Orton lost to, to Brock, and he got busted open, and he took one for the team, and he did the company a solid. I think now this is the, okay, Randy, here goes someone you can beat and just make a fool of. So I see Randy Orton taking this.
Yeah, me too, because sure, as much I love Bray Wyatt, they screwing that man.
Oh, yeah. One of the best characters they've had in the WWE in years, and he's still young, 28 years old, 29 years old. Plenty of time to turn around, but they're wasting it.
Yeah, they are wasting him to the point where he might go say, I quit. This man supposed to be like the new Undertaker.
Yeah, and they're just killing him. Bray Wyatt has won 2 matches on television this entire year.
And I don't remember the last time he won a pay-per-view.
I mean, I think one of those wins are on a pay-per-view, maybe. It's horrible what they're doing to Bray Wyatt and how they're burying him. And his gimmick still stays alive and fresh, and there's still the Fireflies and everything, but he has to win to be feared. And they're not letting him win enough. And the brand split was supposed to remedy that. There's enough people here for him to beat, and they're not letting him beat anyone. And then main event, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose versus John Cena.
Ooh, now this is the match I'm actually eager to watch because I love AJ Styles. I love AJ Styles since TNA. The man is incredible, and his character on WWE is perfect. I love it, and I want him to win that match.
Yeah, I see him winning too. Like, you know, it's not time for Cena to break the record. He's really not going to break the record on just a random-ass pay-per-view.
No.
Like No Mercy. Ambrose had his run, and I'm an Ambrose fan more so than others, but he just had the belt all summer. So I think this
is
perfect.
Yeah, he sure
has. Yeah, it's perfect.
In a quick way.
Yeah. He carried the company. It's cool. He did what he had to do. He did something that all fans wanted, whether they want to admit it or not, and he took the belt off of Roman Reigns. So for that, we are all appreciative.
Yeah, we're happy.
Yeah, he damn near wrestler of the year. If it wasn't for Matt Hardy, just off of that. He took the belt off of Reigns. Thank you. And now it's time for him, you know, to take the pin, keep Cena strong, and have AJ Styles go on. Maybe into a program with Randy Orton or, you know, shake stuff up. Bray Wyatt versus Ambrose again, or Wyatt versus Cena again, which is one of my favorite feuds of the past couple years. Something.
Oh, something.
Or have Bray beat up on a Baron Corbin or one of these guys. Bray needs wins. Everything needs to be shaken up. I feel like we've had these same storylines pretty much the entire time during this brand split for SmackDown.
It's time for like to switch it up. It's time to bring some drama into the whole storylines. Like do something different, not to say ordinary.
Exactly. So
because you're losing interest, you're having the fans lose interest in watching the brands.
Yeah. You can't make it stale. That's why you broke stuff up so it wouldn't be stale. Everyone gets a chance to shine. Shuffle the deck, make sure everyone has that chance. But we're both going with AJ Styles for this. So that was wrestling. Before we get out of here, though, we have some UFC to talk about because that was the other thing we wanted to talk. Today, right when we were recording this, right before it happened, Daniel Cormier versus Rumble Johnson was booked for UFC 206 in Canada.
I read that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Do you think this goes differently?
Getting revenge.
Yeah, do you think this goes differently? Do you think Rumble takes the belt?
I think Rumble's going to take this belt because he's more hungry than DC. Because when the last time DC been Octagon, I think like, what, 4 months ago?
Yeah, it's been
something
a while.
Like that. Mm-hmm. It's been
UFC
a while.
UFC 200, and, right?
Yeah.
Versus Anderson Silva, yeah. And that wasn't really a fight.
No, it wasn't. That was not a good fight. So, and Rumble, he's ready. He's been ready. And this has probably been on his mind ever since, you know, he challenged DC for this title. And he's getting his time. I think he's going to win this one.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick against DC, and I'm glad I don't have to pick this second. Because DC's only lost to John Jones, the best fighter ever. So it's like,
yes.
I thought Rumble was going to knock DC out the first time. And DC took him down, grinded him out. He survived the knockout blow, and then showed that his wrestling skills were just top-notch. So it's a tough fight to predict. We have 205 with Conor McGregor. That's going to be incredible. MSG, McGregor versus Alvarez. Early prediction, who do you have winning that?
I got McGregor winning this because he's determined. He is ready for this. I think he got Alvarez scared right now.
I think so, too. Alvarez is biting his lip at the press conference.
Yes.
He was trying a little too hard to keep up with the trash talk. It's like, come on, man. It's not what you do. He's better off just staying quiet.
Exactly. And, of course, this is not his field. This is a big pay-per-view. This is not his field.
No,
that's why he's biting his lip.
Yep, FS1 on a Thursday to pay-per-view and MSG real quick. And life's about to come at him fast.
And McGregor is just going to beat him down, collect his check, and get some more TaylorMade suits.
Yeah. The other pay-per-view main event we'll talk about before we get out of here is just coming up this weekend. UFC 204. Bisping versus Hendo. Do you see Hendo landing the miracle H bomb?
It's tough to tell.
It's hard to pick a 45-year-old to be champ.
Right. Because, let's see, the last time they fought, that was,
2000.
Almost 10 years?
It's six. I think 2009, 2010 was the fight.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're going to see the same results from that fight because it's been so long ago. So I don't know.
I have Hendo getting tossed around in my memory by DC, like a rag doll.
I got a feeling Bisping going to win this.
He better.
I don't know
this.
What out of what. I would say probably out of decision. That's the least I could think of the decision. I think it's going to go out of 5 rounds.
Okay. Well, I don't think it goes 5 rounds. I'll make my official prediction now. I think Bisping knocks out Henderson. Hendo was almost finished in his last fight in the first round, survived, and then came back and landed a miracle knockout with an elbow, a head kick elbow combination.
Yeah.
Bisping doesn't have the heaviest of hands, but I think he has enough. I think he showed it to win the title. And I think Henderson just doesn't deserve a title shot right now. This is like, you've done so much for the company. We'll give you a flyer. But this is a cupcake fight. For any true champion, Hendo at 45 years old is a cupcake fight. No disrespect to him. So if Bisping gets knocked out, he was really, you know, a flash in the pan, lucky knockout. Because whoever gets to him next is taking the title off him anyway. And I believe in that.
Right.
I think, you know, if Rockhold gets a rematch, Rockhold's taking the belt off him. If Weidman gets the shot, Weidman's beating him easily.
Mm-hmm.
So
no.
Bisping gets one shot to look like a champion. It's in his backyard. It's the only time he has this opportunity. That's why it's in London. Because they know, like, you know what? If we make him fight 3 more times before we go there, he ain't going to have the belt. So we got to do it right now.
Right now before it's too late.
Yeah, so that's what I see. I see him with the knockout, though, because it seems like title fights have all been knockouts lately. So, got to stay with the trends. Picking that as a knockout. Thank you once again for joining us, though. I mean, man, been waiting to talk to you all day. You were the last interview or guest we had on the show today, so it was great. Great energy. Make sure you drop all your stuff so the people know where to find you on social media.
Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at BEPoet21. You can follow me on Instagram and Snapchat under Be So Shy. That's all together. And you can also friend me on Facebook at Be Famous.
All right. Be Famous in the crib. Thank you for coming through. Yes, indeed. Thank all you guys for listening to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Thanks everyone who was a guest today. Fan Appreciation, one of my favorite shows to do every year. Our last Fan Appreciation was actually this very week last year. So I guess it's becoming a trend to do it the first week of October. So make sure you guys keep your ears open for that. Like I told you, Andreas will be back next week. We're going to chop it up. We're going to review UFC 204, No Mercy, preview some boxing stuff, MMA, and wrestling coming up in the following week. It's nice to get back to normal. Thank you guys for listening. But for right now, we're out.